add hostage-taking to his repertoire of abilities. Dorian had spent hours arguing against it. But while some of the council members had also voiced their disapproval, the majority seemed to think the Duke's strategy to be a sound one. Still, Dorian had convinced them to back off about it until his father returned. That would give him time to win over some of the Duke's supporters. Now, standing before her, Dorian quickly looked away from the princess. If he were anyone but the Crown Prince, he would warn her. But if Nehemia left before she was supposed to, the Duke would know who had told her and inform his father. Things were bad enough between Dorian and the king. He didn't need to be branded as a rebel sympathizer. "Are you going to the feast tonight?" Dorian asked the princess, forcing himself to look at her and keep his features neutral. Nehemia looked to Selena. "Are you attending?" Selena gave her a smile that only meant trouble.
"Unfortunately, I have other plans. Isn't that right, Your Highness?"
She didn't bother to hide the undercurrent of annoyance. Kaol coughed, suddenly very interested in the berries in the hedges. Dorian was on his own.
"Don't blame me," Dorian said smoothly.
"You accepted an invitation to that party in Rifthold weeks ago." Her eyes flickered, but Dorian wouldn't yield. He couldn't bring her to the feast, not with so many watching. There would be too many questions, not to mention too many people. Keeping track of her would be difficult. Nehemia frowned at Selena.
"So you're not going?"
"No, but I'm sure you'll have a lovely time," Selena said, then switched into Eelway and said something else.
Dorian's Eelway was just competent enough that he understood the gist of it.
"His Highness certainly knows how to keep women entertained."
Nehemia laughed, and Dorian's face warmed. They made a formidable pair, gods help them all.
"Well, we're very important and very busy," Selena said to him, linking elbows with the princess. Perhaps allowing them to be friends was a horrible, dangerous idea. "So we must be off. Good day to you, Your Highness."
She curtsied, the red and blue gems in her belt sparkling in the sun. She looked over her shoulder, giving Dorian a sneer as she led the princess deeper into the garden. Dorian glared at Kaol.
"Thanks for your help."
The captain clapped him on the shoulder.
"You think that was bad? You should see them when they really get going."
With that, he strode after the women. Dorian wanted to yell, to pull out his hair. He'd enjoyed seeing Selena the other night, enjoyed it immensely. But for the past few weeks, he'd gotten caught up in council meetings and holding court, and hadn't been able to visit her. Were it not for the feast, he'd go to her again. He hadn't meant to annoy her with talk about the dress, though it was outdated, nor had he known she'd be that irritated about not being invited to the feast, but... Dorian scowled and walked off to the kennels. Selena smiled to herself, running a finger across a neatly trimmed hedge. She thought the dress was lovely.
Festive indeed.
"No, no, Your Highness,"
Kaol was saying to Nehemia, slow enough that she could understand.
"I'm not a soldier, I'm a guard."
"There is no difference," the princess retorted, her accent thick and a bit unwieldy.
Still, Kaol understood enough to bristle, and Selena could hardly contain her glee. She'd managed to see Nehemia a fair amount over the past 2 weeks, mostly just for brief walks and dinners, where they discussed what it was like for Nehemia to grow up in Eelway, what she thought of Rifthold, and who at court had managed to annoy the princess that day, which, to Selena's delight, was usually everyone.
"I'm not trained to fight in battles," Kaol replied through his teeth.
"You kill on the orders of your king."
"Your king."
Nehemia might not be fully versed in their language, but she was smart enough to know the power of saying those two words. Your king, not hers. While Selena could listen to Nehemia rant about the King of Otterland for hours, they were in a garden. Other people might be listening. A shudder went through Selena, and she interrupted before Nehemia could say more.
"I think it's useless arguing with her, Kaol," Selena said,
nudging the captain of the guard with her elbow. Perhaps you shouldn't have given Terran your title. Can you reclaim it? It'd prevent a lot of confusion.
How do you remember my brother's name?
She shrugged, not quite understanding the gleam in his eye. You told me. Why wouldn't I remember it? He looked handsome today. It was the way his hair met his golden skin, in the tiny gaps between the strands, in the way it fell across his brow. I suppose you'll enjoy the feast, without me there, that is, she said morosely.
He snorted. Are you that upset about missing it?
No, she said, sweeping her unbound hair over a shoulder. But, well, it's a party, and everyone loves parties.
Shall I bring you a trinket from the revelry?
Only if it consists of a sizable portion of roast lamb.
The air was bright and clear around them.
The feast isn't that exciting, he offered.
It's the same as any supper. I can assure you the lamb will be dry and tough.
As my friend, you should either bring me along or keep me company.
Friend? He asked.
She blushed. Well, scowling escort is a better description. Or reluctant acquaintance, if you prefer.
To her surprise, he smiled.
The princess grabbed Selena's hand.
You'll teach me, she said in Eelway. Teach me how to better speak your language, and teach me how to write and read it better than I do now, so I don't have to suffer through those horribly boring old men they call tutors.
Selena began in the common tongue, and winced. She felt guilty for leaving Nehemia out of the conversation for so long, and having the princess be fluent in both languages would be great fun. But convincing Kaol to let her see Nehemia was always a hassle, because he insisted on being there to keep watch. He'd never agree to sitting through lessons.
I don't know how to properly teach you my language, Selena lied.
Nonsense, Nehemia said. You'll teach me, after whatever it is you do with this one, for an hour every day before supper.
Nehemia raised her chin in a way that suggested saying no wasn't an option. Selena swallowed and did her best to look pleasant as she turned to Kaol, who observed them with raised eyebrows.
She wishes me to tutor her every day before supper.
I'm afraid that's not possible, he said. She translated. Nehemia gave him the withering glare that usually made people start sweating.
Why not?
She fell into Eelway. She's smarter than most of the people in this castle. Kaol, thankfully, caught the general gist of it.
I don't think that—
Am I not Princess of Eelway?
Nehemia interrupted in the common tongue.
Your Highness, Kaol began,
but Selena silenced him with a wave of her hand. They were approaching the clock tower, black and menacing as always. But kneeling before it was Kane. His head bent, he focused on something on the ground. At the sound of their footsteps, Kane's head shot up. He grinned broadly and stood. His hands were covered in dirt, but before Selena could better observe him, or his strange behavior, he nodded to Kaol and stalked away behind the tower.
Nasty brute, Selena breathed,
still staring in the direction in which he'd disappeared.
Who is he?
Nehemia asked in Eelway.
A soldier in the king's army, Selena said, though now he serves Duke Parrington.
Nehemia looked after Kane, and her dark eyes narrowed.
Something about him makes me want to beat in his face.
Selena laughed. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Kaol said nothing as he began walking again. She and Nehemia took up behind him, and as they crossed the small patio in which the clock tower stood, Selena looked at the spot where Kane had just been kneeling. He dug out the dirt packed into the hollows of the strange mark in the flagstone, making the mark clearer.
What do you think this is?
She asked the princess, pointing at the mark etched into the tile. And why had Kane been cleaning it?
A word mark, the princess replied,
giving it a name in Selena's own language.
Selena's brows rose. It was just a triangle inside of a circle. Can you read these marks? She asked.
A word mark? How strange.
No, Nehemia said quickly. They're a part of an ancient religion that died long ago.
What religion? Selena asked. Look, there's another. She pointed at another mark a few feet away. It was a vertical line with an inverted peak stretching upward from its middle.
You should leave it alone, Nehemia said sharply, and Selena blinked. Such things were forgotten for a reason.
What are you talking about?
Asked Kaol, and she explained the gist of their conversation. When she finished, he curled his lip, but said nothing. They continued on, and Selena saw another mark. It was a strange shape. A small diamond with two inverted points protruding from either side. The top and bottom peaks of the diamond were elongated into a straight line, and it seemed to be symmetrically perfect. Had the king had them carved when he built the clock tower? Or did they predate it? Nehemia was staring at her forehead, and Selena asked, Is there dirt on my face?
No,
Nehemia said a bit distantly, her brows knotting as she studied Selena's brow. The princess suddenly stared into Selena's eyes with a ferocity that made the assassin recoil slightly.
You know nothing about the word marks?
The clock tower chimed. No, Selena said. I don't know anything about them.
You're hiding something,
the princess said softly in Ilwe, though it was not accusatory.
You are much more than you seem, Lillian.
Well, I should hope I'm more than just some simpering courtier, she said with as much bravado as she could muster. She grinned broadly, hoping Nehemia would stop looking so strange and stop staring at her brow. Can you teach me how to speak Ilwe properly?
If you can teach me more of your ridiculous language, said the princess, though some caution still lingered in her eyes.
What had Nehemia seen that had caused her to act that way? It's a deal, Selena said with a weak smile.
Just don't tell him.
Captain Westfall leaves me alone in the mid-afternoon. The hour before supper is perfect.
Then I shall come tomorrow at 5. Nehemia said.
The princess smiled and began to walk once more, a spark appearing in her black eyes. Selena could only follow after her. Chapter 24 Selena lay on the bed, staring at a pool of moonlight on the floor. It filled in the dusty gaps between the stone tiles, and turned everything a bluish silver that made her feel as if she were frozen in an everlasting moment. She didn't fear the night, though she found little comfort in its dark hours. It was just the time when she slept, the time when she stalked and killed, the time when the stars emerged with glittering beauty and made her feel wonderfully small and insignificant. Selena frowned. It was only midnight, and even though they had another test tomorrow, she couldn't sleep. Her eyes were too heavy to read. She wouldn't play the pianoforte for fear of another embarrassing encounter, and she most certainly wouldn't amuse herself with fantasies of what the feast was like. She was still wearing her emerald blue gown, too lazy to change. She traced the moonlight to where it lapped upon the tapestry-covered wall. The tapestry was odd, old, and not very carefully preserved. Images of forest animals amongst drooping trees dotted the large expanse. A woman, the only human in the tapestry, stood near the floor. She was life-size and remarkably beautiful. Though she had silver hair, her face was young, and her flowing white gown seemed to move in the moonlight. Selena sat up in bed.
Did the tapestry sway slightly?
She glanced at the window. It was firmly shut. The tapestry was barely blowing outward, not to the side.
Could it be?
Her skin tingled, and she lit a candle before approaching the wall. The tapestry stopped moving. She reached to the end of the fabric and pulled it up. There was only stone, but... Selena pushed back the heavy folds of the work and tucked it behind a chest to keep it aloft. A vertical groove ran down the face of the wall, different from the rest, and then another one, not 3 feet from it. they emerged from the floor, and just above Selena's head they met in a...
It is a door.
Selena leaned her shoulder into the slab of stone. It gave a little, and her heart jumped. She pushed again, the candle flickering in her hand. The door groaned as it moved slightly. Grunting, she shoved, and finally it swung open. A dark passage loomed before her. A breeze blew into the black depths, pulling the strands of her hair past her face. A shiver ran down her spine. Why was the wind going inward, especially when it had blown the tapestry out? She looked back at the bed, which was littered with books she wasn't going to read tonight. She took a step into the passage. The light of the candle revealed that it was made of stone and thickly coated in dust. She stepped back into her room. If she were to go exploring, she'd need proper provisions. It was a pity she didn't have a sword or a dagger. Selena put her candle down. She also needed a torch, or at least some extra candlesticks. While she might be used to darkness, she wasn't foolish enough to trust it. Moving through her room, trembling with excitement, Selena gathered two balls of yarn from Philippa's sewing basket, along with three sticks of chalk and one of her makeshift knives. She tucked three extra candlesticks into the pockets of her cape, which she wrapped tightly around herself. Again, she stood before the dark passage. It was terribly dark, and seemed to be beckoning to her. The breeze blew into the passage again. Selena pushed a chair into the doorway. It wouldn't do to have it slam shut on her and leave her trapped forever. She tied a string to the back of the chair, knotting it five times, and held the ball in her spare hand. If she got lost, this would lead her back. She carefully folded the tapestry over the door, just in case someone came in. Striding into the passage, she found it to be cold but dry. Cobwebs hung everywhere, and there were no windows, only a very long stair that descended far beyond the light of her little candle. She tensed as she stepped down, waiting for a single sound that would send her springing back to her rooms. It was silent. Silent and dead, and completely forgotten. Selena held the candle aloft, her cape trailing behind her, leaving a clean wake on the dust-covered stairs. Minutes passed, and she scanned the walls for any engravings or markings, but saw none. Was this just a forgotten servant's passage? She found herself a bit disappointed. The bottom of the stairs soon appeared, and she came to a halt before three equally dark and imposing portals. Where was she? She had difficulty imagining that such a space could be forgotten in a castle filled with so many people, but... The ground was covered with dust. Not even a hint of a footprint. Knowing how the story always went, Selena lifted the candle to the arches above the portals, looking for any inscriptions regarding the sure death that would meet her if she walked beneath a specific arch. She took stock of the ball of yarn in her hand. Now it was a little more than a lump of string. She set down her candle and tied another ball to the end of the string. Perhaps she should have taken another. Well, at least she still had the chalk. She chose the door in the middle, if only because it was closer. On the other side, the staircase continued downward. In fact, it went so far down that she wondered if she were beneath the castle. The passage became very damp and very cold, and Selena's candle sputtered in the moisture. There were many archways now, but Selena chose to go straight, following the moisture that grew by the inch. Water trickled down the walls, and the stone became slick with whatever fungus had grown over the centuries. Her red velvet shoes felt flimsy and thin against the wetness of the chamber. She would have considered turning back, were it not for the sound that arose. It was running water, slow-moving. In fact, as she walked, the passage became lighter. It was not the light of a candle, but rather the smooth white light of the outdoors, of the moon. Her yarn ran out, and she left it on the ground. There were no more turns to mark. She knew what this was. Rather, she didn't dare to hope that it was actually what she believed it to be. She hurried along, slipping twice, her heart pounding so loudly that she thought her ears would break. An archway appeared, and beyond it, Selena stared at the sewer that ran past, flowing straight out of the castle. It smelled unpleasant, to say the least. She stood along the side, examining the open gate that led to a wide stream that undoubtedly emptied into the sea or the Avery. There were no guards, and no locks, save for the iron fence that hovered over the surface, raised just enough to allow trash to pass through. Four little boats were tied to either bank, and there were several other doors, some wooden, some iron, that led to this exit. It was probably an escape route for the king, though from the half-rotted condition of some of the boats, she wondered if he knew that it was here. She strode to the iron fence, putting her hand through one of the gaps. The night air was chilled, but not freezing. Trees loomed just beyond the stream. She must be in the back of the castle, the side that faced the sea. Were there any guards posted outside? She found a stone on the ground, a bit of fallen ceiling, and hurled it into the water beyond the gate. There was no sound of shifting armor, no muttering or cursing. She studied the other side. There was a lever to raise the gate for the boats. Selena set down her candle, removed her cloak, and emptied her pockets. Holding tightly with her hands, she placed one foot on the gate, then the other. It would be so easy to raise the gate. She felt reckless, reckless and wild. What was she doing in a palace? Why was she, Otterlin's assassin, participating in some absurd competition to prove that she was the best? She was the best. They were undoubtedly drunk now, all of them. She could take one of the less ancient boats and disappear into the night. Selena began to climb back over. She needed her cloak. Oh, they were fools for thinking that they could tame her. Her foot slipped on a slick rung, and Selena barely stifled her cry as she gripped the bars, cursing as her knee banged into the gate. Clinging to the gate, she closed her eyes. It was only water. She calmed her heart, letting her feet find their support again. The moon was almost blinding, so bright the stars were barely visible. She knew that she could easily escape, and that it would be foolish to do so. The king would find her, somehow, and Kaol would be disgraced and relieved of his position, and Princess Nehemia would be left alone with moronic company and, well. Selena straightened, her chin rising. She would not run from them as a common criminal. She would face them, face the king, and earn her freedom the honorable way. And why not take advantage of the free food and training for a while longer? Not to mention she'd need to stock up on provisions for her escape, and that could take weeks. Why rush any of it? Selena returned to her starting side and picked up the cloak. She'd win. And after she won, if she ever wanted to escape her servitude to the king, well, now she had a way out. Still, Selena had difficulty leaving the chamber. She was grateful for the silence of the passage as she walked upward, her legs burning from so many stairs. It was the right thing to do. Selena soon found herself before the other two portals. What other disappointments would she find in them? She had lost interest, but the breeze stirred again, and it blew so hard toward the far right arch that Selena took a step. The hair on her arms rose as she watched the flame of her candle bend forward, pointing to a darkness that seemed blacker than all the rest. Whispers lay beneath the breeze, speaking to her in forgotten languages. She shuddered, and decided to go in the opposite direction, to take the far left portal. Following whispers on Sam Hewen could only lead to trouble. Despite the breeze, the passage was warm. With each step up the winding stairs, the whispers faded away. Up and up and up, her heavy breathing and shuffling steps the only sounds. There were no twisting passages once she reached the top, but rather one straight hall that seemed to lead on forever. She followed it, her feet already tired. After some time, she was surprised to hear music. Actually, it was the sound of great revelry, and there was golden light ahead. It streamed in through a door or a window. She rounded the corner and ascended a small set of steps that led into a significantly smaller hallway. In fact, the ceiling was so low that she had to duck as she waddled toward the light. It wasn't a door, nor a window, but rather a bronze gate. Selena blinked at the light as she looked, from high above, at the feast in the great hall. Were these tunnels for spying? She frowned at what she saw. Over 100 people eating, singing, dancing. There was Kaol, sitting beside some old man, talking and... laughing? His happiness made her own face flush in response, and Selena set down her candle. She peered at the other end of the massive hall. There were a few other grates just below the ceiling, though she could see no other squinting eyes beyond their ornate metalwork. Selena shifted her gaze to the dancers. Among them were a few of the champions, dressed finely, but not finely enough to conceal their poor dancing. Nox, who had now become her sparring and training partner, danced as well, perhaps a bit more elegantly than the others, though she still pitied the ladies who danced with him, but... the other champions were allowed to attend, and she wasn't? She gripped the gate, pressing her face against it to get a better look. Sure enough, there were more champions seated at the tables. Even the pimply-faced Paylor sat near Kaol, a half-rate boy assassin. She bared her teeth. How dare she be denied an invitation to the feast? The tightness in her chest abated only slightly when she couldn't find Kane's face among the revelers. At least they kept him locked up in a cage, too. She spotted the Crown Prince, dancing and laughing with some blonde idiot. She wanted to hate him for refusing to invite her. She was his champion, after all, but she had difficulty not staring at him. She had no desire to talk to him, but rather just to look at him, to see that unusual grace and the kindness in his eyes that had made her tell him about Sam. While he might be a Havilliard, he was... well, she still very much wanted to kiss him. Selena scowled as the dance finished, and the Crown Prince kissed the hand of the blonde woman. She turned away from the grate. Here, the hallway ended. She glanced back at the feast, only to see Kaol stand from the table and begin weaving his way out of the great hall. What if he came to her rooms and found her missing? Hadn't he promised to bring her something from the feast? Groaning at the thought of all the stairs she now had to climb, she picked up her candle and yarn and hurried toward the comfort of higher ceilings, rolling up the string as she went. Down and down she ran, taking the steps two by two. She burst past the portals and darted up the stairs to her room, the small light growing with each bound. Kaol would throw her in the dungeons if he found her in some secret passageway, especially if the passageway led out of the castle. She was sweating when she reached her chambers. She kicked the chair away, swung the stone door shut, pulled the tapestry over it, and flung herself on the bed. After hours of enjoying himself at the feast, Dorian entered Selena's rooms, not sure what exactly he was doing in the chambers of an assassin at 2 in the morning. His head spun from the wine, and he was so tired from all the dancing that he was fairly certain that if he sat down, he'd fall asleep. Her chambers were silent and dark, and he cracked open her bedroom door to peer inside. Though she was asleep on the bed, she still wore that strange dress. Somehow it seemed far more fitting now that she lay sprawled upon the red blanket. Her golden hair was spread around her, and a flush of pink bloomed on her cheeks. A book lay by her side, open and still waiting for her to turn the page. He remained in the doorway, fearful that she'd wake up if he took another step. Some assassin. She hadn't even bothered to stir. But there was nothing of the assassin in her face. Not a trace of aggression or bloodlust lay across her features. He knew her somehow, and he knew she wouldn't harm him. It made little sense. When they talked, as sharp as her words usually were, he felt at ease, as if he could say anything. And she must have felt the same after she'd told him about Sam, whoever he'd been. So here he was, in the middle of the night. She flirted with him, but was it real? A footstep sounded, and he found Kaol standing across the foyer. The captain stalked over to Dorian and grabbed him by the arm. Dorian knew better than to struggle as his friend dragged him through the foyer and stopped in front of the door to the hall.
"What are you doing here?"
Kaol hissed softly.
"What are you doing here?"
Dorian countered, trying to keep his voice quiet. It was the better question, too. If Kaol spent so much time warning him about the dangers of associating with Selena, what was he doing here in the middle of the night?
"By the word, Dorian, she's an assassin. Please, please tell me you haven't been here before."
Dorian couldn't help his smirk.
"I don't even want an explanation. Just get out, you reckless idiot. Get out!"
Kaol grabbed him by the collar of his jacket, and Dorian might have punched his friend had Kaol not been so lightning fast. Before he knew it, he was roughly tossed into the hallway, and the door closed and locked behind him. Dorian, for some reason, didn't sleep well that night. Kaol Westfall took a deep breath. What was he doing here? Had he any right to treat the Crown Prince of Otterlin in such a manner when he himself was going against reason? He didn't understand the rage that arose upon seeing Dorian standing in the doorway. Didn't want to understand that sort of anger. It wasn't jealousy, but something beyond it. Something that transformed his friend into something else. Someone he didn't know. He was fairly certain she was a virgin, but did Dorian know it? It probably made him more interested. He sighed and eased the door open, wincing as it creaked loudly. She was still in her clothes, and while she looked beautiful, that did nothing to mask the killing potential that lay beneath. It was present in her strong jaw, in the slope of her eyebrows, in the perfect stillness of her form. She was a honed blade made by the King of Assassins for his own profit. She was a sleeping animal, a mountain cat or a dragon, and her markings of power were everywhere. He shook his head and walked into the bedroom. At the sound of his step, she opened an eye. "It's not morning," she grumbled and rolled over.
"I brought you a present."
He felt immensely foolish and for a moment considered running from her rooms.
"A present?"
she said more clearly, turning toward him and blinking.
"It's nothing. They were giving them out at the party. Just give me your hand."
It was a lie, sort of. They had given them to the women of the nobility as favors, and he'd snagged one from the basket as it was passed around. Most of the women would never wear them. They would be tossed aside or given to a favorite servant.
"Let me see it."
She lazily extended an arm. He fished in his pockets and pulled out the gift.
"Here."
He placed it in her palm. She examined it, smiling drowsily.
"A ring."
She put it on.
"How pretty."
It was simple, crafted of silver. Its only ornamentation lay in the fingernail-sized amethyst embedded in its center. The surface of the gem was smooth and round, and it gleamed up at the assassin like a purple eye.
"Thank you,"
she said, her eyelids drooping.
"You're wearing your gown, Selena."
His blush refused to fade.
"I'll change in a moment."
He knew she wouldn't.
"I just need to rest."
Then she was asleep, a hand upon her breast, the ring hovering over her heart. With a disgruntled sigh, the captain grabbed a blanket from the nearby sofa and tossed it over her. He was half tempted to remove the ring from her finger, but...
well, there was something peaceful looking about her.
Rubbing his neck, his face still burning, he walked from her rooms, wondering how exactly he'd explain this to Dorian tomorrow.
Chapter 25. Selena dreamt. She was walking down the long secret passage again.
She didn't have a candle, nor did she have a string to lead her.
She chose the portal on the right, for the other two were dank and unwelcoming, and this one seemed to be warm and pleasant. And the smell, it wasn't the smell of mildew, but of roses.
The passage twisted and wound, and Selena found herself descending a narrow set of stairs. For some reason she couldn't name, she avoided brushing against the stone. The staircase swooped down, winding on and on, and she followed the rose scent whenever another door or arch appeared. Just when she grew tired of so much walking, she reached the bottom of a set of stairs and stopped. She stood before an old wooden door. A bronze knocker in the form of a skull hung in its center. It seemed to be smiling. She waited for that terrible breeze, or to hear someone cry, or for it to become cold and damp. But it was still warm, and it still smelled lovely, and so Selena, with a bit of mustard courage, turned the handle. Without a sound, the door swung open. She expected to find a dark, forgotten room, but this was something far different. A shaft of moonlight shot through a small hole in the ceiling, falling upon the face of a beautiful marble statue lying upon a stone slab. No, not a statue. A sarcophagus. It was a tomb. Trees were carved into the stone ceiling, and they stretched above the sleeping female figure. A second sarcophagus had been placed beside the woman, depicting a man. Why was the woman's face bathed in moonlight, and the man's in darkness? He was handsome, his beard clipped and short, his brow broad and clear, and his nose straight and sturdy. He held a stone sword between his hands, its handle resting upon his chest. Her breath was sucked from her. A crown sat upon his head. The woman, too, wore a crown. It wasn't a tacky, enormous thing, but rather a slender peak with a blue gem embedded in the center, the only jewel in the statue. Her hair, long and wavy, spilled around her head and tumbled over the side of the lid, so lifelike that Selena could have sworn it was real. The moonlight fell upon her face, and Selena's hand trembled as she reached out and touched the smooth, youthful cheek. It was cold and hard, as a statue should be.
"Which queen were you?" she said aloud, her voice reverberating through the still chamber.
She ran a hand across the lips, then across the brow.
Her eyes narrowed. A mark was faintly carved into the surface, practically invisible to the eye. She traced it with her finger, then traced it again.
Deciding that the moonlight must be bleaching it, Selena shielded the spot with her hand.
A diamond, two arrows piercing its side, then a vertical line through its middle.
It was the word mark she'd seen earlier. She stepped back from the sarcophagi, suddenly cold.
This was a forbidden place.
She tripped on something, and as she staggered, she noticed the floor.
Her mouth fell open.
It was covered in stars, raised carvings that mirrored the night sky, and the ceiling depicted the earth. Why were they reversed? She looked at the walls and put a hand to her heart. Countless word marks were etched into its surface. They were in swirls and whorls, in lines and squares. The small word marks made up larger ones, and the larger ones made up even larger ones, until it seemed the entire room meant something she couldn't possibly understand. Selena looked at the stone coffins.
There was something written at the feet of the queen. Selena inched toward the female figure. There, in stone letters, it read, "Ah, Time's Rift."
It made little sense. They must be important rulers, and immensely old, but... She approached the head again.
There was something calming and familiar about the queen's face, something that reminded Selena of the rose smell.
But there was still something off about her, something odd. Selena almost cried aloud as she saw them, the pointed, arched ears, the ears of the Fae, the immortal. But no Fae had married into the Havilyard line for 1,000 years, and there had been only one, and she was a half-breed at that. If this were true, if she was Fae or half-Fae, then she was... Selena stumbled back from the woman and slammed into the wall. A coating of dust flew into the air around her. Then this man was Gavin, the first king of Otterlin. And this was Elena, the first princess of Terrasen, Brannan's daughter, and Gavin's wife and queen. Selena's heart pounded so violently that she felt sick, but she couldn't make her feet move. She shouldn't have entered the tomb. She shouldn't have strayed into the sacred places of the dead when she was so stained and tainted by her crimes. Something would come after her, and haunt and torture her for disturbing their peace. But why was their tomb so neglected? Why had no one been to honor the dead this day? Why were there not flowers at her head? Why was Elena Galathinius Havilyard forgotten? Against the far wall of the chamber sat piles of jewels and weapons. A sword was prominently displayed before a suit of golden armor. She knew that sword. She stepped toward the treasure. It was the legendary sword of Gavin, the sword he had wielded in the fierce wars that had almost ripped apart the continent, the sword that had slain the Dark Lord Erewhon. Even after 1,000 years, it hadn't rusted. Though magic might have vanished, it seemed that the power that had forged the blade lived on.
Damaris,
she whispered, naming the blade.
You know your history,
said a light female voice, and Selena jumped, yelping as she tripped over a spear and fell into a gold-filled chest. The voice laughed. Selena grappled for a dagger, a candlestick, anything. But then she saw the owner of the voice, and froze. She was beautiful beyond reckoning. Her silver hair flowed around her youthful face like a river of moonlight. Her eyes were a crystal, sparkling blue, and her skin was white as alabaster, and her ears were ever so slightly pointed.
"Who are you?"
the assassin breathed, knowing the answer but wanting to hear it.
"You know who I am,"
Elena Havilyard said. Her likeness had been perfectly rendered on the sarcophagus. Selena didn't move from where she had fallen into the chest, despite her throbbing spine and legs.
"Are you a ghost?"
"Not quite," said Queen Elena, helping Selena rise from the chest.
Her hand was cold but solid.
"I'm not alive, but my spirit doesn't haunt this place."
She flicked her eyes toward the ceiling, and her face became grave.
"I've risked much coming here tonight."
Selena, despite herself, took a step away. "Risked?"
"I cannot stay here long, and neither can you," said the queen.
What sort of absurd dream was this?
"They are distracted for now, but..."
Elena Havilyard looked at her husband's sarcophagus. Selena's head ached. Was Gavin Havilyard distracting something above? Who needs distracting?
"The 8 Guardians. You know of whom I speak."
Selena stared at her blankly, but then understood. "The gargoyles on the clock tower?" The queen nodded.
"They guard the portal between our worlds. We have managed to buy some time, and I was able to slip past."
She grasped Selena's arms. To her surprise, it hurt.
"You must listen to what I tell you. Nothing is a coincidence. Everything has a purpose. You were meant to come to this castle, just as you were meant to be an assassin, to learn the skills necessary for survival."
The nausea returned. She hoped Elena wouldn't speak of what her heart refused to remember, hoped that the queen wouldn't mention what she had spent so long forgetting.
"Something evil dwells in this castle, something wicked enough to make the stars quake. Its malice echoes into all worlds."
The queen went on.
"You must stop it. Forget your friendships. Forget your debts and oaths. Destroy it before it is too late, before a portal is ripped open so wide that there can be no undoing it."
Her head whipped around, as if she heard something.
"Oh, there is no time,"
she said, the whites of her eyes showing.
You must win this competition and become the king's champion. You understand the people's plight. Aurelia needs you as the king's champion.
But what is...
The queen reached into her pockets.
They must not catch you here. If they do, all will be lost. Wear this.
She pushed something cold and metallic into Selena's hand.
It will protect you from harm.
She yanked Selena to the door.
You were led here tonight, but not by me. I was led here too. Someone wants you to learn. Someone wants you to see...
Her head snapped to the side as a growl rippled through the air.
They are coming, she whispered.
But I don't understand. I'm not who you think I am.
Queen Elena put her hands on Selena's shoulders and kissed her forehead.
Courage of the heart is very rare,
she said with sudden calm.
Let it guide you.
A distinct howl shook the walls and made Selena's blood icy.
Go,
said the queen, shoving Selena into the hallway.
Run!
Needing no more encouragement, Selena staggered up the stairs. She fled so fast that she had little idea of where she was going. There was a scream below, and snarling, and Selena's stomach rose in her throat as she hurled herself upward. The light of her chambers appeared, and as it neared, she heard a faint voice cry from behind her, almost in sudden realization and anger. Selena hurtled into the room and saw only her bed before everything went dark. Selena's eyes opened. She was breathing, hard, and still wearing her gown, but she was safe. Safe in her room. Why was she so prone to strange, unpleasant dreams? And why was she out of breath? Find and destroy the evil lurking in the castle indeed. Selena turned on her side and would have gladly fallen asleep again were it not for the metal that cut into her palm.
Please tell me this is Kaol's ring.
But she knew it wasn't. In her hand lay a coin-sized gold amulet on a delicate chain. She fought against the urge to scream. Made of intricate bands of metal, within the round border of the amulet lay two overlapping circles, one on top of the other. In the space that they shared was a small blue gem that gave the center of the amulet the appearance of an eye. A line ran straight through the entire thing. It was beautiful and strange and... Selena faced the tapestry. The door was slightly ajar. She jumped from the bed, slamming into the wall so hard that her shoulder made an ugly cracking noise. Despite the pain, she rushed to the door and pulled it tightly shut. The last thing she needed was for whatever was down there to wind up in her rooms, or to have Elena show up again. Panting, Selena stepped back, surveying the tapestry. The woman's figure rose up from behind the wooden chest. With a jolt, she realized it was Elena. She stood just where the door was. A clever marker. Selena threw more logs onto the fire, quickly changed into her nightgown, and slid into bed, clutching her makeshift knife. The amulet lay where she had left it.
It will protect you.
Selena glanced at the door again. No screams, no howls, nothing to indicate what had just happened. Still. Selena cursed herself for it, but hastily attached the chain around her neck. It was light and warm. Pulling the covers up to her chin, she squeezed her eyes shut, waiting for sleep to come, or for a clawed hand to snatch at her, to decapitate her. If it hadn't been a dream, if it hadn't just been some hallucination. Selena clutched the necklace. Become the king's champion. She could do that. She was going to do that anyway. But what were Elena's motives? Aurelia needed the king's champion to be someone who understood the suffering of the masses. That seemed simple enough. But why did Elena have to be the one to tell her that? And how did it tie to her first command, to find and destroy the evil lurking in the castle? Selena took a steadying breath, nestling farther into her pillows. What a fool she was for opening the secret door on Sam Hewen! Had she somehow brought all of this upon herself, then? She opened her eyes, watching the tapestry.
Something evil dwells in this castle. Destroy it.
Didn't she have enough to worry about right now? She was going to fulfill Elena's second command. But the first, that might lead her into trouble. It wasn't like she could go poking about the castle whenever and wherever she pleased, either. But if there was a threat like that, then not only her life was at risk. And while she'd be more than happy if some dark force somehow destroyed Cain, Parrington the King, and Caltaine Rompier, if Nehemia, or even Kaol and Dorian, were somehow harmed. Selena took a shuddering breath. The least she could do was look in the tomb for some clues. Maybe she'd find out something regarding Elena's purpose. And if that didn't yield anything, well, at least she'd tried. The phantom breeze flowed through her room, smelling of roses. It was a long while before Selena slipped into an uneasy sleep. Chapter 26. The doors to her bedroom banged open, and Selena was on her feet in an instant, a candlestick in hand. But Kaol took no notice of her as he stormed in, his jaw clenched. She groaned and slumped back onto her bed. "Don't you ever sleep?" she grumbled, pulling the covers over herself. "Weren't you celebrating into the wee hours of the morning?" He put a hand on his sword as he ripped back the blankets and dragged her out of bed by the elbow. "Where were you last night?" She pushed away the fear that tightened her throat. There was no way he could know about the passages. She smiled at him. "Here, of course. Didn't you visit to give me this?" She yanked her elbow out of his grasp and waved her fingers in front of him, displaying the amethyst ring. "That was for a few minutes. What about the rest of the night?" She refused to step back as he studied her face, then her hands, then the rest of her. As he did so, she returned the favor. His black tunic was unbuttoned at the top and slightly wrinkled, and his short hair needed a combing. Whatever this was, he was in a rush. "What's all the fuss about? Don't we have a test this morning?" She picked at her nails as she waited for an answer. "It's been canceled. A champion was found dead this morning. Xavier, the thief from Melisande." She flicked her eyes to him, then back to her nails. "And I suppose you think I did it?" "I'm hoping you didn't, as the body was half-eaten."
"Eaten?"
She crinkled her nose. She sat cross-legged on the bed, propping herself on her hands. "How gruesome. Perhaps Cain did it. He's beastly enough to do such a thing." Her stomach felt tight. Another champion murdered. Did it have to do with whatever evil Elena had mentioned? The Eye-Eater and the other two champions' killings hadn't been just a fluke or a drunken brawl, as the investigation had determined. No, this was a pattern. Kaol sighed through his nose. "I'm glad you find humor in a man's murder." She made herself grin at him. "Cain is the most likely candidate. You're from Aniel. You should know more than anyone how they are in the White Fang Mountains." He ran a hand through his short hair. "You should mind who you accuse. While Cain is a brute, he's Duke Parrington's champion."
"And I'm the Crown Prince's champion."
She flipped her hair over a shoulder.
"I should think that means I can accuse whomever I please."
"Just tell me plainly, where were you last night?"
She straightened, staring into his golden brown eyes.
"As my guards can attest, I was here the entire night. Though if the king wants me questioned, I can always tell him that you can vouch for me, too."
Kaol glanced at her ring, and she hid her smile as a faint line of color crept into his cheeks. He said,
"I'm sure you'll be even more pleased to hear that you and I won't be having a lesson today."
She grinned at that, and sighed dramatically as she slid back under the blankets and nestled into her pillows.
"Immensely pleased."
She pulled the blankets up to her chin and batted her eyelashes at him. "Now get out. I'm going to celebrate by sleeping for another 5 hours. A lie, but he bought it. She closed her eyes before she could see the glare he gave her,
and smiled to herself when she heard him stalk out of the room. It was only when she heard him slam the doors to her room that she sat up.
The champion had been eaten?
Last night in her dream?
No, it hadn't been a dream.
It had been real. And there had been those screeching creatures. Had Xavier been killed by one of them? But they'd been in the tomb. There was no way they could have been in the castle halls without someone noticing. Some vermin probably got to the body before it was found. Very, very hungry vermin. She shuddered again and leapt out from under the blankets. She needed a few more makeshift weapons and a way to fortify the locks on her windows and doors. Even as she readied her defenses, she kept assuring herself that it was nothing to worry about at all. But with a few hours of freedom ahead of her, she brought as many of them with her as possible as she locked the door to her bedroom and slipped into the tomb. Selena paced the length of the tomb, snarling to herself. There was nothing here that explained Elena's motives, or what the source of this mysterious evil might be. Absolutely nothing. In the daytime, a ray of sunlight shone into the tomb, making all the dust motes she stirred up swirl like falling snow. How was it possible that there was light so far beneath the castle? Selena paused beneath the grate in the ceiling, peering up at the light flowing through it. Sure enough, the sides of the shaft shimmered. They were lined with polished gold. A lot of gold if it meant reflecting the sun's rays all the way down here. Selena stalked between the two sarcophagi. Though she'd brought three of her makeshift weapons, she'd found no trace of whatever had been growling and screeching last night. And no trace of Elena, either. Selena paused beside Elena's sarcophagus. The blue gem embedded in her stone crown pulsed in the faint sunlight. "What was your purpose in telling me to do those things?" she mused aloud, her voice echoing off of the intricately carved walls. "You've been dead for 1,000 years. Why still bother with Aurelia?"
"And why not get Dorian or Kaol or Nehemia or someone else to do it?"
Selena wrapped a finger on the queen's pert nose.
"One would think you'd have better things to do with your afterlife."
Though she tried to grin, her voice came out quieter than she would have liked. She should go. Even with her bedroom door locked, someone was bound to come looking for her sooner or later, and she highly doubted that anyone would believe her if she told them that she'd been charged with a very important mission by the First Queen of Otterlin. In fact, she realized with a grimace, she'd be lucky if she weren't accused of treason and magic using. It would certainly guarantee her return to Endovir. After a final sweep of the tomb, Selena left. There was nothing useful here, and besides, if Elena wanted her to be the king's champion so badly, then she couldn't spend all her time hunting down whatever this evil was. It would probably hurt her chances of winning, actually. Selena hurried up the steps, her torch casting odd shadows on the walls. If this evil was as threatening as Elena made it seem, then how could she possibly defeat it? Not that the thought of something wicked dwelling in the castle scared her or anything. No, it wasn't that at all. Selena huffed. She'd focus on becoming King's champion. And then, if she won, she'd go about finding this evil. Maybe. An hour later, flanked by guards, Selena held her chin high as they strode through the halls toward the library. She smiled at the young chevaliers they passed, and smirked at the courtwomen who eyed her pink and white gown. She couldn't blame them. The dress was spectacular, and she was spectacular in it. Even Ress, one of the handsomer guards posted outside her rooms, had said so. Naturally, it hadn't been too difficult to convince him to escort her to the library. Selena smiled smugly to herself as she nodded to a passing nobleman who raised his eyebrows at the sight of her. He was immensely pale, she noticed as he opened his mouth to say something, but Selena continued down the hall. Her steps quickened at the rumblings of arguing male voices that echoed off the stones as they neared a bend. Hurrying farther, Selena ignored the click of Ress's tongue as she rounded the corner. She knew that smell all too well,
the tang of blood, and the stinging reek of decomposing flesh. But she hadn't